So this great feast of the Ascension of our Lord, as I said, this completes the Paschal mystery. Oftentimes, I think maybe when we think of the Paschal mystery, if we think of it at all, we think of the events of Holy Week and Easter Sunday, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, which are parts of it, but this feast today is the necessary conclusion of that. It completes that great Paschal mystery, the saving work of Jesus Christ, who came to reconcile the world to himself, to reconcile the world to the Father, to heal the wound of sin, the separation that happened way back in the Garden of Eden, that the second person of the Holy Trinity, God himself, became man, took on flesh, and lived his life on earth as that means of reconciliation and to unite humanity once again to the Father. We have this great feast today. As we had in that opening prayer, that where the head is, the body is sure to follow. And we had that beautiful imagery in the scriptures and the gospels. They saw Jesus ascending into heaven. You know, when we speak of the spiritual realities, we don't always have the best words to describe. And so we have to do the best we can with our limited language. But we have to be careful that we don't take the imagery to too much of a concrete thing. It's not like Jesus got on an escalator or an elevator and was going to the top floor. And in the ancient times, when they looked at the world, at the cosmos, they thought of heaven as three layers. The first layer of heaven is the sky that we see during the daytime. The second layer would be the stars and all of that mystery that's up there. Then the third level of heaven would be where God reigns, that spiritual reality. It was to that place that Jesus ascended. And so we have no other way of describing it other than an elevation kind of say. This vertical approach of Jesus. But that elevator or that escalator image isn't completely wrong. To be really basic, and just as we heard in the opening prayer, where the head is, the body is sure to follow. As members of the church, we're part of the body of Christ. Christ is the head. So if you imagine yourself on an elevator, if I'm on the first floor and I want to go to the second or the third floor, as I'm going up, my head will be there before my body. So where the head is, the body is sure to follow. So this is what we're celebrating today. This great feast that gives us the hope and the confidence that we will be in heaven with our Father forever. This is the day. And so when St. Paul writes to the Ephesians that we should know the hope of the call that is within us, this is the hope that we will be in heaven. And that whatever happens here on earth is simply passing away. And that we're not made for this world, but we're made for heaven. But because of sin, we couldn't get there. And Jesus had to come and live among us. He had to die. He had to rise. And he had to ascend. And this is the great feast that we're celebrating. And so maybe we could ask ourselves, do I live with that hope? Is that the true foundation of my life? The motivation of my actions? That this hope of heaven, that the promises of Christ will come true, that I was made for heaven, and because of the grace that I received through the sacraments, that I can live in communion, in friendship, in joy with him, and then when I die, I will be with him forever. Because as we hear in the baptismal rite, that's the moment of our real death. That's when we die to this world. And that's when the very life of God is given to us. We heard him say in the readings that wait and pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's what we're going to celebrate next Sunday with the Pentecost. That great feast of the outpouring of the third person of the Trinity in each one of our lives. But for us in a sacramental life, that began at our baptism. And for those of us who are confirmed, confirmation completes this gift of the Father to us of his Spirit. But we are already living in the Spirit through our baptism. We're already living that elevated, that ascended life if we live a life of grace. And the feast today is here to remind us of this. So do I live with the hope of heaven? And so maybe I can do a little replay, a little rewind of my mind of these last, particularly these last 2 months when we're dealing with this virus. What kind of stranglehold did I allow fear and anxiety to just really strangle the life out of me? Paralyzed fear so many people were living in. It's almost as if we thought that death was the end of our life and that we were made for this world. Like we forgot that we were made to be with heaven, in heaven with God forever. And that we will all die. We can't escape that. And however it comes and whenever it comes, if we are in communion, if we're in friendship with God, then we're going to go to heaven. It's what we're made for. Now, we shouldn't try to expedite the process. Trusting God's providence, we should take care of the natural world and ourselves. I'm not saying completely discard all of that. But have we allowed the fear of the world, the lies of the world, to steal our hope? The feast we're celebrating today hopefully will restore and renew that within us. That we're not made for this world. That we're made to be in heaven forever. And this is the hope of the call that is within us. We have this beautiful gospel, the conclusion of St. Matthew's gospel. And when we live with that eternal perspective, when we live with the hope of heaven, then these words that Jesus gave the apostles will be true for us. That we will have the motivation to go out into the whole world and make disciples. That trusting that all authority in heaven and earth had been given to Jesus, and he shares that with his apostles, and now the apostles go out and they teach with the same authority that Jesus has. All authority in heaven and in earth. And this is why we can be obedient to Holy Mother Church. This is why we can trust the doctrine, the dogma, and even the temporary restrictions on our freedom that we might have to suffer through. Because we trust that Mother Church is operating for our eternal good. And that whatever we have to suffer through in the meantime, who cares? Because I'm going to heaven. And when we read St. Paul's letters, that's what he says in one place. Like, if you kill me, I'm going to heaven. Praise God. Let me live. I'm going to convert more Christians. Praise God. Like, do we have this desire, this hunger to save souls, to save lives, to change lives with the saving message of Jesus Christ? The commission, this great commission is how we refer to this gospel. Is sending forth to make disciples. And it's not just to the 11. It's for each one of us through our baptism. There are great movements going through the church now, especially with the young people on college campuses, the young adults, where people devote and commit their lives to living out this gospel. But it's not just for that one small segment. It's for all of us. We're all called to go out and make disciples. And that phrase, to make disciple, it really says, go and disciple. The verb is not make, the verb is disciple. To teach, to train, to share your life with someone else so that they can live the life that God has called them to, so that they will know the hope of their call. And so we first must know the hope of our own call. We must first know the saving message of Jesus Christ to know that I was completely separated from him, but because of the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, now I can live this resurrected life today. And that this is the life that everyone is hungry for. And that without this life, nothing else matters. Who cares if there's no virus if we're not going to go to heaven? Who cares how long we live? Sometimes we're so attached to this world that this becomes our heaven. And it's a sad reality for so many, even Christians. Let's pray for that grace to truly have the hope of heaven. So that as we continue these days of prayer, this novena for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit next Sunday on Pentecost, that our lives will be renewed, that we will receive the fullness of God's Spirit, our minds, our hearts, our lives will be changed, our families will be changed, then the world will be changed. St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians today, it's a beautiful prayer. It's a prayer that I'm sure he has for us today, and it's my prayer for us today. Let's listen again. Brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. What are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe? In accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, power, above every name. And he put all things beneath his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Again, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of him. May your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. May this be true for each one of us. May the eyes of our hearts be enlightened, and may we live in the hope that belongs to his call. Amen.